Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It is Little Pocket Awareness. You guys already know what to do. Hit, hit the subscribe button. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. We got to add something new to this, Chris. Hit the subscribe button. Also, follow us on Twitter at ALPA underscore QB1. Also, what am I missing? Instagram, ALPA underscore QB1. Facebook, A Little Pocket Awareness. And of course, follow us on Twitter at the Mark John for me, at King Manelos for Chris. And of course, the subscribe button on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Google Play. I think that's another one. Yeah, all those.
Oh, look at you.
All of those. So make sure you guys hit up all of those and we'll be good to go for that. So, Chris, we are talking 20 through 11 today. The quarterback countdown continues. We continue
yes, sir.
Quarterback countdown, sir. So I think we're going to argue a little bit this week. I'm excited about the arguments and debates we have this week. I'm excited about it, actually. Of course, start with our Raiders and Packers update. So, you know, Raiders quarterbacks are still, not performing the best, right now in training camp, not having the best camp in the world. It was even worse. So today's Tuesday.
Oh boy.
It's even worse. So, you know, Gardner Minshew is starting to take the lead.
Oh, which, you're excited.
So he started to take the lead. And that's my update. The defense looks really great though. You know, the defense looks awesome. A lot of picks. I don't know.
Do they look awesome because of AOC and Gardner Minshew, though?
I mean, to be fair, they are top five in a lot of categories on the Pierce last year, like scoring, even like EPA, DVOA, whatever nerdy stat you want, like even yards per game, points, allowed. And they got the same defense coming back. It's not like they lost anybody. All they did was just plug in Christian Wilkins.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's good when you can get a guy like that to come in and operate as smoothly as what it sounds like he has in camp so far.
Yeah, I think they're gonna be great on defense, and I think they're gonna be able to run the ball, which is key here. The quarterbacks get all the talk in camp because there's really no run game in camp.
Sure,
I mean?
There's
really no run game, right? I think they're gonna be able to run the ball, so that's why I'm not tripping on the offense yet, because I think if they run the ball, do some play action, they'll be fine, right? If we're getting the drop back passes like we're getting in camp, we're seeing what will happen if we get to a drop back full time. So, but if we can run the ball, do some play action, even with Gardner Minshew, because Minshew's like a gunslinger without a gun. So that's my problem with him. He's a gunslinger without a gun. So, even with him, the Colts still found a way to win some games with him last year. So
yes, they did.
They can get it done with some playing some great defense, even with him. It just might not be, the most explosive offense in the world. I think O'Connell can throw the ball downfield more than him. But we got the games on Saturday, so that's gonna really good show what we see, man. But
speaking of the games on Saturday, Jordan Love's playing on Saturday or Sunday. I can't remember which day they're playing.
Think it's a bad thing to play.
Week one, he's getting snaps. No, I'm excited about that. That is, if there's anything that comes to preseason football, they need reps. They got to get in there. They got to start clicking, playing against other teams. Otherwise, you show up to week one, and week one's just a walk-in preseason game.
Yeah.
So many mistakes. That's just how it's been, especially the last few years with Rodgers. It was a walk-in preseason game. It never went well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because they got no continuity in the preseason, even in the training camps, because they just weren't on the field together. So this is important. I think I support Jordan Love playing immediately in preseason. I'd love to see him ramp it up a few times too. There's only three games. It's truly just get that man ready to go for this season.
Yeah, Mahomes plays in the preseason all the time. He plays a lot in the preseason.
That's how it should be. These guys need to be ramping up and getting ready for the NFL season.
Yeah, I mean, like everybody used to play in the preseason. I remember Aaron Rodgers did an interview, even though he was the guy who stopped it, but he did an interview, which I thought was weird. He's like, yeah, we don't even play the preseason anymore. I'm like, yeah, because of you. And Jordy Nelson, and you're pissed because Jordy Nelson got hurt. It's you, bro. You're the one who started the trend. And he's like, we don't even do this anymore. Like, what? Like, how aware are you, bro? Like, I don't understand, man. You know, all those trips to Egypt, still has no awareness. You know what I mean? He's all that spirituality, has no awareness, so. Because, like, how do you not have, like, this trend started by you, and you're like, we don't do this anymore. Yeah, Aaron. I'm sorry, Chris. I just,
like, you're not wrong. There's nothing to be apologizing for. You're right. He did start that.
He started the damn trend. He's like, we don't even do this anymore. Yeah, we don't. We don't play preseason anymore. We don't do the third game anymore, Aaron, because of you. You started the trend. Like, if we don't have to play Aaron Rodgers, why should I play my quarterback? Because Bryce Young's not playing.
That's a mistake. That's a mistake. He needs as many snaps as he can get. Unless they're actually afraid of how small he is, that he might get broken out there in a preseason game. Like, he needs the reps. He needs to be out there.
He's in a new offense.
He needs to be out there. I don't like that. What are you thinking? I don't like that.
I just say some of these things just make the, you know what I mean? Like, even Caleb, you know, I can see why they didn't play Caleb, because if it was a normal preseason, they played
four games. Well, yeah, the Hall of Fame, they didn't even play the whole game, Marcus. That doesn't even – how can you stop a football game like that?
Because nobody wanted to watch those third
stringers. There's a reason why, because you stop games like that. It's not the first time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, see, that's why it's fair. But, like, you know, I'm sure Caleb's going to play this week. You know what I mean? Like,
He needs to also. He better.
Yeah, and then we got Drake May versus Joe Milton this week. I'm excited to watch that. I mean, Drake May.
Dude, Milton's picking up some steam as far as the press is concerned. I was talking about Ayuk being the wide receiver traded there.
I know. And the Steelers are trying to get him, though. That's the Steelers. The Steelers have been on it. You know, my boy Derek, he works for the Steelers, does some stuff for the Steelers, some film stuff, and he has been posting about Brandon Ayuk for about 6 months now.
So this is the longest trade like that. There's a report that the trade is ready to go, and just a contract negotiations need to be worked out. He's got like four teams that he's working on contracts with. Was it the Commanders, the Patriots, the Steelers, and the Browns?
Yeah. Yeah, the Browns. The Browns, too, because I think they're trying to trade him for Amari Cooper, straight up, like trying to do like Amari Cooper swap.
Interesting. Well, they don't want to pay him again. Well, they can't pay him again because of Watson's contract.
You got to pay Ayuk. That's why they probably can't do it. You got to pay Ayuk. Ayuk wants to be paid. So yeah. you're trading for him. You're trading for him to pay him. That's why the Patriots have they have the chance. Because I think the Steelers do their contract so weird that I don't know if he's going to agree to the way they do their contracts. Right? Mm. They do that weird, I don't give you – like, you know, like the Packers do. The Packers don't always give out – you know, they're old school teams that, we still do contracts like 1950. Like they don't do the whole game like how they haven't modernized their contracts. So that's probably the holdup with the Steelers. I'm sure if they did normal contracts, he'd be a Steeler already.
Yeah, what do you mean? The Packers do void years all the time.
Oh, Josh Jacobs signed for 4 years, $44 million, but it's like a one-year, $14 million deal. It's pay as you go. So if you're good, Josh, you might get paid next year. Well, I don't know.
We'll find out.
We'll see.
AJ Dillon looks really good. He came in this offseason. He's looking to get paid.
I'm sorry, Chris, but Jacobs is cursing himself because he's talking too much shit about the Raiders. He won't let it go. Like, bro, every time that you get an interview, do you have to mention your former team? Let it go, bro. Like, it's okay. Like, you got money. You're on a good team. You're on a team that has, you know, you be happy. Just be like, hey, I'm happy to be here.
I want to see that man run. I want to see that man run.
You know, you're going to be mad, Chris, the first time he tries to bounce a power run and then you lose 4 yards. You're going to be pissed. I'm going to tell you that right now. You're going to see it. It's going to be all week one. You're going to see him try to bounce it.
He's not going to have too many opportunities, man, because A.J. Dillon's right there. He's ready to take that ball from him. And even the rookie looks good.
Oh, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. They drafted that rookie, too. Lynch, right? Lynch looks, yeah.
He's looking good. So yeah, I'm upset to not have Aaron Jones in the backfield, but I like the way this team's put together, man.
I don't know, Chris. I mean, since you started the show, our team's been swapping players a lot. You notice that?
You took Devontae.
You got Josh. You took
Josh. For a while there, we were going to get Waller, too.
I know.
So glad that didn't work out.
It's just an interesting thought. I'm trying to think of some other guys. There's got to be somebody else that I'm not thinking of right now.
Your head coach.
Yeah, Lou Getsy.
we're swapping coaches and players.
Getsy, yeah. Oh, you got our special teams coach, Rich Bisaccia.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is about, Chris, but I don't know if it has something to do with us, but I mean
this has only started happening since we've been doing this.
I just some kind of connection there. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm just saying.
you, me.
I don't know what it is, man, but I'm sure, man. You know, if you guys want to give us Rashawn Gary after this, that's cool. You can do that too.
Bro, he's locked up. Oh man, is that a contract that I love?
Yeah, I know he's locked up. I'm just joking.
We didn't even have to give him top three money.
I know Kenny Clark is locked up too.
Same with Kenny Clark. We didn't even have to give him big time money like Chris Jones.
But that's why they gotta pay Crosby, because Gary has more money than Crosby.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Rashawn's top five. Gary. He's top five. We gave him the money, and then who did? Oh, the Bears gave Montez Sweat a bigger contract. Insane. No,
yeah. Crosby's 10th, bro. He's 10th in pay. That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
I think he's fourth
in pass rusher money. And like, we didn't even have to like make him number one, and then he just fell down the list to four. Like, we came in outside the top three. And I love that. I love his contract. I love Kenny Clark's contract. I'm liking what I see so far about Jordan Love's contract. Jair's contract looks good now. I'm feeling really good about the way that the Packers are looking right now, man. In all facets.
Anything else exciting with preseason this week? I don't remember anything.
No, I mean, just these guys need to be out there getting their reps. And the only thing that scares me as a Packer fan right now is our kicking game. So we got to get those kick. We got to get some kickers, as many opportunities as we can, to figure out who's going to be good.
Yeah, I can. I'm gonna hate watch the Michael Penix with the Falcons, even though I heard through a birdie that the Raiders weren't going to draft Michael Penix. Regardless, I still don't believe. I don't believe that. But I don't believe it. They're Daniels or bust. Like, that doesn't sound right at 13 with that many quarterbacks to draft. So I'm gonna hate watch the Falcons.
You're not ready to draft Shadur.
Don't talk to me about Shadur, because I don't want to piss off Raiders fans. We'll get to that later.
I think that's a perfect segue to get into your
We'll talk about that later, man. We'll talk about that later. Yeah, so let's get into these rankings. It was Will Levis, 27. It was Bryce Young, 26. Aiden O'Connell. I'm gonna say slash Gardner Minshew now. Yeah. Aiden O'Connell slash Gardner Minshew at 25. Daniel Jones at 24. Even though Jones is looking good at camp, he's got Malik Nabers.
You know what? You finally put him in the right place where he finally deserves to be.
I don't know. He might still be the 19 with Nabers, bro. Nabers might bring him back to 19.
Nope.
You might bring him back to 19, Chris. We dropped him at 24. He might come back to 19.
I mean, the Giants said they're not gonna pay the man $40 million to turn around and give it to a running back.
He's got Nabers. Nabers are getting fights today, and he's balling on camp. Giants to give fans access, because I've literally seen every Nabers catch on Twitter. I've seen every single one. So we'll see. You know, training camp hype is hilarious. Just because like I watched the Chiefs. People hype up the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, and it's like the Chiefs are practicing their cover zero looks. Like, nobody's doing that against Patrick Mahomes. Nobody's playing cover zero except Steve Spagnuolo. Right. That's it. That's the only guy who's going to do it, because he plays it, so he needs to get it installed.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, you might see Xavier Worthy run past the safety, but we're not going to do that. No other teams are that stupid, right? We're not going to especially with Worthy there now, nobody's playing cover zero with Patrick Mahomes. This is exactly what he's going to do. He's not going to go anywhere else. As soon as he sees a safety creep up close enough, the two safeties creep up close enough, we're just like, okay, it's cover zero. I'm going right to Worthy. I'm going to step back as far as I can. I'm going to throw it as far as I can.
And he can actually do it unlike Tua.
Exactly, right? Or Jalen Hurts, who struggles with cover zero too.
Oh, yes.
All right. So then we had 23 was – who did I have at 23? I got to look. 23, that was Watson, Deshaun Watson. Richardson was 22. And then we had our controversial first one. It was Baker Mayfield at 21, which I still stand by that.
Okay. Baker. All right. I mean, you finally got it right with Daniel Jones. Put him up at 24. Now I gotta bust you. I gotta bust you up about Baker being that high. So okay, all right. There's the first one that you made me mad about. You said there's gonna be a whole bunch more of that today.
Just a couple. Okay. All right. All right. Let's get started. Let's number 20. I went Russell Wilson, which might be Russell Wilson / Justin Fields.
It's not going to be Justin Fields. It's definitely Russell Wilson.
Justin Fields having a good camp.
Whatever.
He's having a good camp, man.
Okay.
that's the word.
Russell Wilson, number 20.
Russell Wilson, number 20. So, you know, Russell Wilson.
I would have put him at 21. I would have put him at 21, Baker at 20. But, okay.
He's your
20.
I have him at 20. Now, why I have Russell Wilson at 20, I think Russell Wilson is still a serviceable quarterback. I think the Steelers can win with some games with him. He still has a great deep passing game. He's probably still one of the best deep passers in the league when Sean Payton allowed him to do it. He actually did it pretty well. He's still great late in games too. There's a lot of games where the Broncos were down. He got them back into those games. I mean, he helped them, get back on track. His game against the Bills is really good. I mean, there's still some flashes of old school Russell Wilson in there. That's why I have him at 20. I think that you could still win with him. I think he's still a top 20 quarterback. He's not somebody that, you feel like can fall off, and then maybe he could have that, he's the type of quarterback that was, he was great at one point, right? That means when some of these guys get older, they have that one more great year, that one last hurrah, right? After a couple of bad years. That's what a lot of old guys do that are Hall of Fame potential guys. They have that one great last hurrah, and that might be this year with the Steelers if he wins that job, because you're knocking Fields, but I'm just saying, Fields is getting more neck and neck than you think. But I do think that he's still a top 20 quarterback. It's somebody that I kind of wanted the Raiders to go after because, it would just be more secure at the quarterback position. Like, if they couldn't draft anybody, I feel a lot better if Russell Wilson was there, right? I feel a lot better about this season going forward, even though a lot of fans didn't want Russell Wilson. Some Raiders fans wanted Justin Fields. So either way, it would have been a better outlook for the season. But when we get to what's wrong with Russ is Russ is old, so he can't move anymore. Right. He just is not the same guy who could, spin around and, run for a bunch of yards or be the.
He relied on that. Relied on that a lot in his career.
Big time. Right. And, him turning down an easy look and then looking for a bigger one, mm-hmm. it leads to a sack now. Mm-hmm. It's a sack. Like if he does that now and he just takes too many sacks, that's all he does. Really. It's just he's either completing the pass or he's getting sacked. I mean, that's how it was for him last year. He doesn't throw a lot of picks still. He's still a great decision maker. That's why I think he's
yeah.
too. Doesn't throw a lot of picks. Doesn't turn the ball over a lot. You just have to deal with a lot of third and 15s. And you have to see if you can make up for it. And that's why they have George Pickens and those type of guys. And it's just weird. They have Arthur Smith who loves to throw those digs, the A.J. Brown and all those guys over the middle of the field. And now you have the short guy who just can't make that throw.
He does
not do it. He just can't do it. It's on film. Like he'll miss every single throw over the middle still. It's like not even an option for him. He's not going to throw over the middle unless you like, I don't know. I don't even know how you do it with him. So that's why it's weird with him is throwing over the middle, but we'll see how that goes.
See if they get creative because you can do it. And with this offense, I think there's a lot more potential for Russell to have that resurgence like you're talking about. They want to run the football. They got two guys in the backfield that they want to give the ball to. And that'll offer some relief for Russell to be able to find opportunities to make those big time throws with the football. He will get an opportunity to move, I think, a lot more than what they did in Denver. They didn't have the running game to get him out on bootlegs. They didn't have the running game to get him sprinting to the right, sprinting to the left, out of play action. That was a very inferior roster, and which that's what made that whole trade kind of have all those question marks for me in the first place. You're not bringing a guy in who's the missing piece. You were bringing a guy in who it has to be him or this is going to be awful. And it was awful because Russ was not him.
Yeah.
Now, you're right. He didn't turn the football over. His touchdown interception ratio was, I think, the best or second best last year.
Yeah, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's still pretty good. So I see that carrying over. I don't see him throwing a lot of interceptions in Pittsburgh, especially the way that they run the football. I think you're going to get more deep posts from a guy like Pickens.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they get Ayuk, forget about it. That guy's going to be – that's the next Lockett for Russell Wilson if they get Ayuk in the building. He'll be that deep threat that Lockett was for Seattle for Russ. But, this is a really good situation for Russ. It sets up for him to have that resurgence. I think he can get himself another contract. And if – on the flip side, if you're telling me – If you really truly believe that Justin Fields is gonna fight him for this starting job, then there's no reason for this man to be in your top 20.
When I put this together, okay, I did not know that he was gonna hurt his calf and then Justin Fields would get on his bus. You know, we'll see how this feels, but you know, if the team is starting to feel that way, they really like Justin and what he's doing. And,
I'll be very surprised.
I still don't think Justin can see the field. I refuse. I don't believe it until
I'm right there with
you. Until it's really firing and it's not practice, you know. Even though if you know the Raiders fan listen to this, yeah, Raiders fans can't. You know, we can't complete a pass to practice. But Justin Fields has been in the league for a while. But Justin Fields has been in the league for a while, so you know him doing good in training camp. Usually that's how I look at it. Like I expect veteran quarterbacks to look good in training camp.
Yes.
That's just how I expect it. Yes. You've been in the league 5 years. Training camp should be easy peasy for you.
Yes.
Right. You know, that's a little bit why I think Gardner Minshew is looking better than O'Connell because he's been in the league longer. Right. This is O'Connell's first training camp actually getting a chance to start. Right. Minshew's been in this spot a lot. Right. It's easy for him. Right. So, yeah, I expect that, but Russ is still looking pretty good out there too when he's on the field. It's not like he's throwing interceptions and looking crazy and Fields is beating him. It's just he got hurt. That gave Fields the opportunity to kind of show what he can do with the first team, and there he's put together some good practices. But, I still think Russ is – like, Russ can get the job done. That's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not like it's going to be crazy for him to not do that. And if the Steelers play great defense like they usually do with that defensive line – he'll do fine, right? I think the Steelers have like 15 passing touchdowns like the last two seasons. So just to get 26, that's why I felt about Russ too, because the Raiders had like 20 touchdowns last year. I mean, we had 6 more. You know what I mean? Even with the sacks, we just had 6 more touchdowns from the passing game. It just makes a little bit of difference.
Right? It does.
You know what I'm saying? It's 36 more points. it's just a little helpful, man. So like I said, Russ is not bad. I still think he's serviceable. He's good. He'll be fine, right? He's not a win because of guy, like they say in scouting community. He's a win with guy, which is basically a whole list until like about 13 here. So but all right. Any last thoughts on Russell Wilson? Anything?
I'm just glad he's not in the NFC anymore.
Okay.
It's been really good to not have to worry about him and his guaranteed 10 wins in Seattle. He might be a guaranteed 10 in Pittsburgh.
Maybe. He didn't get 10. He didn't get 10 in Denver,
He didn't get 10 in Denver. That's for sure.
He's not guaranteed 10 no more, Chris. I don't know.
I think he could go back to that in Pittsburgh. Because that's a guaranteed 9 wins every year with that head coach, Mike Tomlin.
All right, here we go. So Number 19. I went Derek Carr. Derek Carr is 19. Is that too high, Chris? Am I too high on Derek here? I think this is the lowest I've been on Derek.
It is. Okay, just because it's the lowest that you've been doesn't mean it's low enough.
It's the lowest I've been on Derek. Okay, so I don't want you. You know, this is you know. So
I'm gonna need you to tell me how he's 19. I don't understand how you have him better than Baker.
Because he is better than Baker. He's better than Baker Mayfield. I will stand by that. Derek Carr is better than Baker Mayfield.
Not what he did last season.
Derek Carr, his season is in chunks here. So he started the year off pretty decent, pretty well, right? I mean, he has his red zone issues. I mean, that's his problem. He has a problem in the red zone, right? He had those issues, but they started off 2-0, and they're up 17-0 on your team. And then the shoulder went down.
Love, baby.
The shoulder went down, right? And then, you know, Jameis Winston, who, you know, everybody wants to replace Derek Carr with the backup quarterback. So Jameis Winston, who got all the buzz, he came in there, and then the Packers came back and they won that game. But then, you know, Derek Carr, he thinks he's like superhuman. So he decided he wanted to play with his shoulder that wasn't connected. And they started losing games after that, trying to recover from the shoulder. And then as the year ended, they started winning games once his shoulder got better. So I think that there is still some upside to Carr for the Saints this coming season. I think just Carr is just, you know, right now he's either I'm going to throw to Alvin Kamara or I'm going to throw it 40 yards. I'm going to throw it to Alvin Kamara or I'm going to throw it 40 yards. I'm going to throw it to Alvin Kamara or I'm going to throw it 40 yards. And it's like no in between. It's kind of always been like that a little bit. I don't know if that's like the Gruden thing or he doesn't attack the intermediate part of the field. And that's why he gets like the whole check down thing with him because it's literally like, you know, the dude, Rashid, what's his name? Shaheed, yeah, Shaheed, you know, he has a great connection with him, throwing deep balls to him. You know, he throws some good deep passes to Olave and all those things. And, you know, and you know, kind of the same things that, you know, Derek is Derek at this point. I don't understand. I really don't want to go. There's not really too much deep diving I could do. I mean, that's really what he is. I mean, I think he handles pressure better than he used to, but it's still something that can get him off his game really a lot, right, is getting pressure on him. You know, I did see an EPA drop back thing where he was actually doing pretty good when, you know, guys weren't open. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like he can do well if he has a good line. And I think this year he's not going to, which is going to be a little bit of a problem for the Saints because they got, I mean, Ramsack is gone, right?
Bro, that is not a good roster situation with, like, there's some horror stories. If you want to say the NFL cap, the salary cap is not real, look at this roster that they put together this year and especially what's going to happen next year. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, they'll still be good on defense and stuff like that, and that's on him. I mean, he didn't throw a lot of picks last year, and that's why they still almost made the playoffs. I mean, if they didn't – that's what I'm saying. If he didn't play that game against the Bucks like an idiot, like he went out there and played that stupid game against the Bucks with his shoulder just not even working, and they lost that game, they probably would have still made the playoffs if he didn't play that game. Like, let's keep it real. Because, I mean, the Saints actually finished the year pretty decent. So, you know, it's just with him, it's kind of the same issues that you always will have with him that'll never make him perfect. But you know, it's either, you know, check down or he's throwing it deep. And then, or, you know, there was some intermediate throws against the Colts a little bit, I guess, but you know, it's just like two parts of the field he uses and he doesn't use the whole field. So when you're playing him, I mean, there's just, that's how you can play him. Like that's why when he plays too high coverages, he doesn't do very well because when you play too high, you got to attack the opening for too high is the intermediate part of the field.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you got to throw it 15 yards in between the cover two corner. And,
yeah.
Right? You got to hit that 15 to 20 yard window all the time. You got to hit the 15, 20 yard dig in between the linebacker and that safety's going back. So if you're only throwing deep and you only throw short,
you're in trouble.
You're in trouble. So that's the thing with him is that he doesn't attack that part of the field. And that's why he had the big – that's why, you know, when Josh McDaniels had him, and Josh McDaniels loves a dagger out, and I was just thinking, like, Josh, you're not going to win with this guy if you're expecting him to hit a 20-yard dig every third down. It's like it's he's not going to stand in there and do that. Like, it's just not – that's just not his game. You know, we need five-yard slants on third down that gives some yak. You know, like John Gruden was perfect for him. John Gruden just gave him just – exactly what he needed to do. It's like John was like, we're not gonna throw intermediate. That's John's like, we're not gonna do it. We're gonna throw deep and short, just like you can do. And we're gonna do a bunch of slants, and we're gonna do, like, you know, in and out routes, and do a choice route with Darren Waller. And mm-hmm. all the stuff they used to do, and then he got the most out of Carr. And but you know, Carr has always been bad against like the too high coverages and those things, but he's still really good pre-snap. He's still a great pre-snap guy. So he gets his line playing the best that he can. He's still good. I mean, he's still pretty decent. He's better post-snap than he used to be. Like, you know, when he started to get good, team started to fool him a little bit, and mm-hmm. he started to adjust to that and get better at that. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, when you play these too high coverages, and that's why he started to struggle in 2021 when he came out balling, right? And the team started backing up, playing too high. And that's his issue, is that you gotta hit the middle of the field, bro, when you're playing too high, right? If you don't do that, you're just chugging, they're gonna come tackle. And then you chuck it down, they're gonna come tackle, and if you throw deep, you're gonna be throwing in the double coverage. And it doesn't work that way, right? So yeah, I mean that's always, he's gonna be the kind of the same guy for me all the time. Like, you know, it is what it is with Carr, but I think that when you compare him to the other quarterbacks in the league right now, that's why I have him at 19.
Okay. 19.
Any thoughts on that, Chris? What are your thoughts?
I would like to see Baker in front of him, but Baker's
not bad. I will stand by 19. That. I will stand by that. I don't care what Baker. I don't believe it. I can't believe it with my eyes. That's why I put Baker at 21.
They're going to play each other a lot this year, so we're gonna get 19 versus 21.
He beat him the second time, right? I mean. You know, he actually has a pretty good record against Baker Mayfield, except the one time Baker Mayfield just showed up for the Rams game, and I don't know, that's Josh McDaniels. So I throw that whole season out. Like, obviously McDaniels is a terrible head coach, right? I mean,
very true. Very
terrible. Very true. I'm pretty sure that team didn't even practice that hard that week. It's like, who's our quarterback? Come on, guys. You know, I'm sure that's what his take on that. Just like they're the only team Jeff Saturday beat that year. I never forget that.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All right, hit me with 18.
The only team that Jeff Saturday beat. All right, anyways, sorry, I had some bad flashbacks there, Chris. All right, 18. I went Geno Smith at 18. Okay. Geno Smith at 18. Now,
Geno had a step back.
Yeah, a little bit of a step back. I think I had him at 15 last year. A little bit of a step back last year, but I still think that he has there's a lot of good things that he does. I think he's actually pretty good pre-snap now. Pre-snap, you get him to read the ball. He'll get his line doing pretty well, and he'll get that ball out to right where it needs to go. If you give him some time, he can get through his reads. He's a great arm. Still has a big arm. I think his pocket presence is a little bit better. I mean, it used to be just worse. It used to be laughable. You know how many times he used to fumble with the Jets. I know you remember this, Chris.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
It's a lot better now, right? It's a lot better.
We loved what we've seen the last few years with Geno.
Yeah. You know, I think he's shown a lot of growth as a quarterback.
Agreed.
Yeah, and he can make plays with his legs still. He can still get out there and make plays. He does a good job of getting the ball to his weapons. He's pretty accurate too. Pretty accurate guy. Mm-hmm. Makes some good throws there. And there is a lot to like about him. There is.
Sure.
There is a lot to like. My problem with Geno Smith, though, and I think what happened last year with him, is that teams started to take him serious. So what happens when teams take you serious, Chris? What happens?
They step up the way that they disguise those coverages.
And that's what his issue is.
He might do good pre-snap, but now post-snap's new thing. And he forces that ball.
Yeah, but a lot of it has to do with the post-snap look. You know, because that's what I'm saying. Pre-snap, and this is the thing with like pro quarterbacks, right? If a pro quarterback's really good pre-snap, he can get away with a lot. Mm-hmm. He can win you some games. He can get away with a lot, especially with a good run game. Because if the team's worried about the run game with you, and you're good pre-snap, you'll get some good looks and you'll be able to read things quickly, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, I think they had a pretty good run game last year with Seattle, anyways. But teams, he still threw 30 touchdowns the year before, right? He had 30 touchdowns, led them to the playoffs. You know, teams are going to take him more serious. So, like, you know, he had this interception against the Browns that, you know, I just don't think a top 15 quarterback throws this interception where, you know, where they do the, you know, the zone blitz where, you know, the guy fake rushes and he drops back and you still just stare it down and throw it right to the defensive lineman dropping back. You know what I mean? Where did he come from? Like, that's not top 15 quarterback play, in my opinion. Right? And that happens too often on tape with him. Like, if they change the picture. They did a zone blitz. Mm-hmm. They went from you know, this look to that look. Like Geno wasn't able to adapt to it very quickly. Like maybe he gets better at this, at the, that this year.
This year, yeah.
Maybe. But I'm not sure if that is going to be a for sure thing with him. And, that, and that's my issue with him. It's just is like he, it feels like he could do mostly a lot of the things you like, but it turns back into decision making issue when you can't deal with things that are happening for you post snap. Like if you can't handle that, man, then you're in trouble. Let's just keep it real. You're not in a good spot to be successful as an NFL quarterback if you can't beat things post snap. I mean, that's because mm-hmm. That's what kind of separates, like I said, usually these top 15 guys, they are usually pretty good at that. Some guys are, you know, so good pre-snap that they could end up being a top 15 guy for a season, but like that's going to catch up to you eventually. And I think that's his biggest issue, in my opinion. And of course, you know, just sometimes like you're talking about, just kind of just he trusts his arm way, way, way too much. Right, he's just a little bit of a gunslinger, and that's going to come back and bite him in the ass, I think, a couple mm-hmm. times. Every once in a while, you know, he did miss some games last year. He still threw like 9 picks, which isn't a lot, but just with some of the games that he missed, you know, they came in bunches. They came against good defenses, like the Bengals, right?
Yes,
they came against defenses that like to disguise. Yeah, basically what I'm saying. Yeah, so like the Bengals, he threw like 2 picks that game, and the Bengals, they do all types of weird, crazy stuff. They just move all guys all around the place. You know, there's a safety here, but then the safety ends up on the ground, and the safety, the corner drop coming, and you know, all the crazy stuff that Lou likes to do over there in Cincy. And he didn't play very well that game, right? He ended up throwing a couple of interceptions. You can see it on film. If you can confuse him, he's not going to play well, right? And if like the Seahawks can't keep a team in a base look, and teams will try to get crazy and take him seriously, which I think happened even more as the year went along last year, then yeah, he's not going to be the best quarterback in the world. And I think that's his main issue for me for Geno Smith.
I'd like to see him take a second and really trust what he's seeing versus what he saw pre-snap. That's something that a lot of guys get guilty of, is they just hone in on that pre-snap read. And then because he's got a big arm, he's just going to stick with it. I'd love to see him take a beat. You know, maybe utilize his legs a little bit more, extend the play in the pocket, yeah. Out of the pocket. I'd love to see him check it down to a back out of the backfield when he's a little bit more uncertain, instead of just really trying to force the point on what he saw from before the ball was snapped. So
yeah,
there's a lot of opportunity still for Geno to get back to the path that he was on as he first started playing in Seattle.
Yeah, because, I mean, when he first started playing Seattle, teams thought he was Geno Smith, so you could do those pre-snap things and get away with it. Mm-hmm. But, like, when they're taking you seriously, bro, they're going to take you seriously. And sometimes you just can't force the ball to DK Metcalf, and then you end up getting picked. And, you know, and you're right. He's got to take those checkdowns, which he doesn't do very much at all on film. And that's my thing with Geno, is just you want to see him get better there. But
yeah, I'd love to see him take that next step.
You know, the film nerds like him, so they probably hate that, you know, when I drop these rankings on Twitter, that they're going to be like, he's 5. Like I saw one of the film nerds said, I should stop calling them nerds because I do film too. But they're more nerdy than me. I'm going to keep it real. But when he goes to, like one guy said he's a top 5 quarterback in the NFC, and I was like, whoa. Let's. Hold on here. Back up. Take a step back. You know, that's crazy. But he's a good quarterback, though. I think he's good. You know, a lot of Raiders fans are do not want him next year if he's a free agent. They refuse, but it wouldn't bother me.
No, that would be an upgrade to what you're dealing with right now, for sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, it wouldn't bother me that much. Especially
you might be able to get him for cheap.
Yeah, and then you could still draft somebody, right? And then, you know,
absolutely. Let him sit behind them and learn.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. It's, I like that situation for you guys.
Yeah, because I don't know who they're going to draft. I mean, I know Shedeur Sanders wants to come to Las Vegas, but you know, I don't. You know, we'll see. We'll see. You know, AP might because that's the thing. If they're going to pick somebody, it might be him. That's why.
Do you know Deion would get him there?
I know he would.
All right, he was 17.
All right, 17 is my biggest dropper. Who do you think my biggest dropper is, Chris?
Like, moved the most or, like, fell out of your top 10?
Fell out of my top 10.
Matthew Stafford.
Oh, no. No. You're wild with that one. Jalen Hurts at 17.
Wow.
Jalen Hurts at 17.
I'm now, not see, mad at that.
Now, why do I have Hurts at 17? And people are going to think this is... No, you know, ooh, I don't even think people
tell think this crazy anymore. Can I tell you? Because he can't. He can't. He's a one trick pony. That's a yak offense.
All right, I'm gonna be fair to Jalen. Okay, I'm gonna be fair. I think Jalen's problem last year is that for some reason, no, let me start with the good things he does. Right, he's still an accurate quarterback. He's still real accurate. I think he's still an accurate guy.
He throws a good ball behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, he does a great out route. He does a great 15-yard out. It's very accurate, on time, good anticipation. He anticipates a lot better. He does a lot of those things. And he, like I said, like he knows how to get the ball to his playmakers, right? He gets them in the ball in the right spot.
Does he know how to, or did they design that offense to get that ball?
Well, the offense all over the place last year. It was Shane Steichen went to Indianapolis, first of all. Let's start
there,
Chris.
That's true.
Shane Steichen went to Indianapolis, which I think is half the problem.
That's the same reason why Josh Allen fell off the planet. Yeah. Because his offensive coordinator went to be a head coach.
I mean, saying Josh Allen fell off the planet, though, is crazy, Chris. That's not – he did not fall off the planet.
He regressed pretty substantially.
How much did he – this is a conversation for next week.
Okay. So, all right. He's still in your top 10. I see. Okay, Josh Allen.
Why wouldn't he be? That's crazy.
You're right. There's not that many quarterbacks anymore that are actually top 10 quarterbacks.
You're crazy. We're going to get on this crazy comment that you're making right now. But anyways, Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts. I just feel like he is not a guy that you want to throw the ball 550 times with. And I feel like the Eagles put him in a bad spot, that they had him throwing the football way too much.
Agreed.
And he wasn't. And I know he had the same amount of rushes. And you can't even go by his rushing touchdown because they got that push tush too. Yeah, he's got like 20 rushing touchdowns.
He's going to be different this next year.
Yeah, with the push tush.
With no Kelsey.
Push. With no Kelsey. Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true. They ain't got Kelsey, huh? But the offensive line is still pretty good, even though I think their left tackle is a little overrated just because people say he's better than Colton Miller. That's just a personal Raiders fan thing for me. But they still got Lane Johnson. They still got Leonard Dickerson, who's really good. Yeah. So I think his lines could be fine. But I just think you got to control him. I think you got to get him more naturally part of the running game, not make it part of scrambling. I think they got to get that run game going. That's why they got
Saquon. That's why I got Saquon last year. Yeah.
Because they went last year with DeAndre Swift, who's not a every down back. He's more like
he's a third down.
Yeah, he's a third down guy. So that's what I'm saying. They designed it. Like, they're like, we paid Jalen. He had a great game in the Super Bowl. I think he could throw the ball 35 times. And
nope.
It did. And it started off good. They started off well. Like, oh, yeah, this might work. And then it got
that's to because nobody thought that he was going to do it. And they're like, wait, why do they keep letting him do this?
And then from week 8 on, it just wasn't the same. But I think if you can control him and bring him back into it and get him part of the run game again and make sure you can get the ball out of his hands quicker and not expecting him to start reading the field. Because basically, once you start to get him to read the field, like he starts missing guys. Like he there's a lot of guys just running wide open on film. Like it was crazy. I could literally embarrass him on Twitter if I really wanted to. It was like literally just guys guys running wide open and he just and then like would throw a bad pass. It was like, what happened to you, right? And what happened to him is they're passing too much. They're giving him too many opportunities for that thing to happen because that's the problem. You didn't see that the year before because he was part of the run game. They were doing RPOs and getting him easy quick catches, getting him RPOs where he had the option to run and like he would start running and then he could still pass it. Mm-hmm. You know, Shane Steichen designed the same thing he's going to do with Anthony Richardson. You know, this is why Gardner Minshew was successful too because they had Shane Steichen. Shane Steichen is a damn good play caller. He knows how to attack matchups, attack guys. And then you go to Sirianni, who's too busy. I don't know what Sirianni does. I think he's a drunk or something. I don't know what he does. He's too busy showing his team to have an MVP.
He's got a Super Bowl ring, man.
No, he doesn't. He has an NFC Championship ring, Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He lost. He lost the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Right. Because he did the same thing that everybody else does against Patrick Mahomes, is get a 10-point lead and keep passing. So that's which is the stupidest idea. Because if you keep passing versus him, he's going to catch up because he could do that. He could throw the ball 50 times.
Yep.
Yep. Like the Niners did it too. Like I just can't believe it. I can't believe every team that goes up 10 against him in the Super Bowl. And we're like, you know what? We're gonna put them away instead of just put them away to old
school. Chew the clock.
No, we're gonna put him away, and then we're gonna have 2-3 and outs, and he's gonna score 2 touchdowns back to back, and then we're like, oh, the game's tied. I've seen it 2 years in a row. The Niners pissed me off with that. They frustrate the hell out of me.
Hey, they shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, all right, whatever, Chris. But but like I said, that's what probably hurts. I think if they get back, that's what they got Saquon Barkley in. If they get back to putting him in the run game, he might rise my list again. You know, he might rise up the list. But it's just I just think when you took his whole play, and you know, I might be lower on him than maybe I should be, but it just came to the point where I'm listening to these guys, and I'm like,
dude, I'm right there with you. Him and Tua. Yeah. I hope you say Tua next. I hope you say Tua at 16 because they're one in the same. They're on the same level.
No, I didn't say Tua next. I went Kyler Murray next. Okay. Kyler Murray at 16.
Okay. I can live in a Jalen Kyler Tua bubble right now. I could live in that bubble right now. Okay. They're all about the same.
No, okay. So Tua.
Baker in there too. Throw Baker in.
Baker does not need to be in there. Okay, I don't know why you're so high on Baker. Baker, I don't care how many playoff games he wins.
I'm not so high on Baker. I just don't think he's 21. I think he's like 18, 17, 16. No. I think he's in there.
He's not, Chris. All right, so
you put Daniel Jones in here. I don't want to talk about that with you.
So Kyler Murray, I thought Kyler Murray actually played a lot better than I ranked him. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't put him that high. I just couldn't do it, Chris. I couldn't do it.
I mean, I'm okay with him being right here for now. But I think he's gonna have
a big year.
He's got a first year wide receiver, and they're high on the other kid too, aren't they? Who's the other kid that they got? What's the other receiver?
Michael Wilson. Yeah.
Was it Wilson? Is he number 18? Is he 18? What's his
number? 14.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael Wilson. Wilson. Greg Dortch is really good. Greg Dortch is pretty damn good.
They got a good young tight end.
Yeah, McBride. He's damn good.
McBride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a connection too, especially because think about Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's built for the West Coast offense, right? Because he does a good job. He has a quick release. He does a good job of throwing those quick short passes.
When he throws the ball and gets it out of his hands fast.
Yeah, which he did last year. He got the ball in his hands quick, right? He got the ball in his hands quick, and he made some good decisions. He wasn't like forcing it downfield like he usually does sometimes, or just trying to make a play. He was more just kind of staying in the structure of the offense. And then when they asked him, they did the design run. They were still doing some design runs, mixing in with James Conner. And then they added Michael Carter, which I think he was underrated back. I think they went off. He was more of like a pocket passer last year. And that's what I was talking about, because he was more under center. So they did more play action passes, and he was able to get some easier looks. He was able to throw some good balls.
He needs that.
Yeah, and I think he played pretty well, but of course he still has the bad pocket presence. He's still got to take the sacks, and he's gonna
he
can't see the middle of the field. He's short, and some of those things are still gonna be there. And I think he's still just kind of like quirky with getting hit. Like he doesn't like getting hit still. And I just think you can't be a successful NFL quarterback if you don't like getting hit. It's just not going to work for you. That's the same thing with like even Carr don't like getting hit, and it's just like you just can't be very successful if you don't like it, because you're gonna get hit and you have to you have to do it.
Prepare yourself for it. I can't tell you how excited I was the first time I got rib protectors.
Yeah,
I put those on in practice and I got hit in the ribs once or twice. I was like, oh, this is a new world. This is amazing. Prepare yourself. Protect yourself. Get yourself ready for it, because it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to happen, man. And you can't just be scared of it, right? So that's the thing. Like, so those things are still there, right? A lot of the quirks that he had that, you know, kept, you know, us from actually, you know, where everybody was like, he's top five. No, the color Murray. It's like, you know, which was nuts. That's stupid. Yes. But I think that he actually has a chance to be a top 10 quarterback this year just because he has all those weapons. I think they're in a West Coast offense. He's under center more. And I think he has a chance to really grow. Because I thought he played really well last year. I think I couldn't put him like over Jordan. I couldn't do those type of things, right? I couldn't put him over like anybody like that.
Don't you dare.
Like, right? I couldn't do anything like that. So, like, but I thought he played a lot better than people are giving him credit for. I think he's going to actually play like everybody thought he was playing year two. Well, you know, when he was coming in year two, how everybody felt like he was going to win MVP year three. I think he's going to play really well. I'm warning you, Chris. We're gonna have a lot of questions. We're gonna have a lot of conversations about Kyler Murray this year because I think he's gonna surprise. I think the Cardinals are gonna be better than people think because they got James Conner, they got Kyler Murray, they got Michael Carter for the run game. They got Marvin Harris Jr. They got Greg Dortch. They got Michael Wilson and Trey McBride.
They got a good young core, but that's the key, Marcus. The offensive line, and they're struggling on the interior offensive line, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yeah. If the line is okay, they do okay. I think with the run game and mixing that in, I think they're going to be pretty damn good on offense. I think they're going to be one of the better offenses in the NFL. And yes. I think it's going to show up with Kyler Murray. It's because of the run game too, because he's part of it. They're not like the Eagles. They're like, we're going to throw the ball 800 times to Kyler Murray. And hopefully, you know, they're not going to take that approach. They're going to make it part of the run game. They're going to, you know, if you run that zone read with James Conner, you're picking poison. You go with James Conner, then and you worry about him, then Kyler Murray's gonna keep it. He's gonna run for 20 yards. If you worry about Kyler Murray, then James Conner's gonna have some big holes, right? So
the offensive line can put it together.
Yeah, but they looked pretty good last year with some of those things. So yeah, I liked Kyler's film. I thought Kyler had some of his best film that he's had, and
I straight up ignored him last year.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty good, man. It was honestly surprising, and it came back, and it just shows that why you guys should be watching this show, because I said that he needs to be under center for him to get the best out of him, and he's under center, and he looked the best. So I'm just saying, short quarterbacks need to be under center.
Absolutely. They need to get used to that rhythm of the passing game, because once they get that three-step, five-step, seven-step, whatever it is in their drop, you know, it's – you get in that rhythm, that flow. You understand that when you're limited in the middle of the field, your timing just gets better from under center playing quarterback than being in shotgun and standing back there. The sense of timing is completely different when you're in shotgun and you're not able to take a three-step, five-step, seven-step drop. Once you integrate an actual drop into these plays for these quarterbacks, their timing gets better and they just get a better sense of what's going on the football field.
Exactly. All right. So next one is Tua. So you're right, Chris. This was a bundle of Hurts, Murray, and Tua. So Tua's 15.
All right. I can live with this.
And, you know, and Tua is the just I feel bad for Tua, just the way he gets talked about sometimes. But it also makes
sense. He doesn't help himself out.
It also doesn't help. But I think that he is perfect for that offense. I think he's exactly what Mike McDaniel needs. I think, you know, Mike McDaniel does need somebody that can, you know, maybe when he's wrong, can make it right. And that's just not what Tua is, right? Tua is not a I can make you right,
right
type of player, right?
I could not agree with you more. Marcus, that was very nicely said. That was very, very nicely said.
I appreciate that, Chris. Yeah, but he's just not that guy.
Agreed.
Since he's not that guy, you would expect him to, you know,
recognize.
Hopefully, get better at that. Hopefully, right? You're year three of the offense. You would expect him by now to be able to make Mike McDaniels right, and that's not happening right now. It's not happening. I don't know if it's really going to happen anytime soon.
Not with that contract.
Yeah, right.
Not with that contract.
Yeah, so. But you know, when it's the first read, man, he's probably one of the best anticipator in the league. He is the best. I mean, he really is, Chris.
That's why he gets to be number 15.
Right? Because, yeah, but You also be looking at it sometimes. But the better quarterbacks, they can anticipate the second reads and stuff like that. But if it's the first read, like Tua will throw the ball, like Tyreek Hill will still be running. He's running a post route. Tyreek Hill will still be running, like still looking like he's running to go. Tua will release the ball. And then
that's because he has to go.
But Chris, I know that, but be fair here. This is great anticipation here.
He knows how to get the ball out of his hands as fast as possible to be able to throw a deep ball so that Tyreek Hill can be under it. Yes, but too many times.
Not even deep balls, man. I'm talking about like digs and everything.
That's a deep ball for Tua. That's a deep ball for Tua.
Everything, man. But and like he gets rid of the ball like 2.1 seconds and stuff like that. That's my thing too. It's like, so if you make him hold the ball, he's in trouble, right?
Yeah. Agreed.
Because like even with the Raiders and you know the Dolphins run the same play over and over again, which bothers the hell out of me. Which
those are the ones that work for Tua.
And that's why when I get into like Mike McDaniel's a genius sometimes, I'm like, well, he kind of just runs the same play over and over again. But,
it just starts different.
It looks different every single time.
That's how you know he's a good coach. They run the same three plays out of 19 formations. That's a good coach.
I guess that's the point, right? That's the point. But when you get to Tua and him, man, it's just – yeah, that's the thing with Tua. It's like if you can stop him from getting to that first read, or if you stop that play, if you know how to stop that play they run every single time, you know, you can really frustrate him, right? And then he's not much of a mover. I think he does have pretty good pocket presence. Like he doesn't fumble or anything like that. He doesn't fumble a lot in the pocket or anything like that. And, you know, he doesn't take a lot of sacks because he gets rid of the ball so quick. That's why I would never, besides Teron Armstead, I would never take a Dolphins offensive lineman because, like, Robert Hunt got, like, $23 million or something like that to go play with the Panthers. And he you got to block now. That ball's not coming out in two seconds. You got to block now, Robert. So you got to block for 3 seconds now. Bryce is going to hold that ball. It's not Tua who just takes a slide, just go. Right, no matter what, it's because I'm gonna try to throw this perfectly anticipated ball. So, but he gets the job done, man. And I'm sure Mike McDaniel has been cooking up because he's very John Gruden-ish, and he's probably cooking up the most coolest schemes I've ever seen that we will never see in week one. Just like last year, he had that thing where he would line up to re-kill a tight end and then sprint him out in a motion.
Oh my gosh,
and the whole league started,
right?
Like,
oh my god, he's getting a head start.
Right, and then he's getting a head start, and then it looks like it's a go, and it turns to a dig. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah,
yeah. You know those things, and like the league started copying that. You know, yes. That's not gonna. We'll see what Mike McDaniel has. I'm sure he's been cooking. He's probably done. He probably went to like high school football or something. He's probably been cooking. It's gonna be some cool stuff. But it's just Mike has to learn. Like, you got to save some of that stuff, bro, for like week eight, man. You got to come out doing some of the stuff he did like year before and then like bust up.
Because Tua, for what he can do on that first read, they can't run that same stuff 2 years in a row, 3 years in a row because of if he's just that first read guy.
Yeah.
And they're seeing it multiple times, but Mike's got to cook in order to be able to do that for Tua because you could not have hit it on the head any better. Tua is not going to do it for Mike. Mike has to do it for Tua.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why I call him Jimmy 2.0. Jimmy. He's the Jimmy Garoppolo upgrade. I'll stick with that nickname. He's Jimmy 2.0. I'll stick with it.
All right, who's 14?
All right, 14 is Trevor Lawrence.
Okay, makes sense.
Trevor Lawrence.
Look at those two new contracts right next to each other. 15.
I know, 14. Man. I know, man. 14 is Trevor Lawrence. Trevor is the most frustrating quarterback for me to watch on film. I'm sorry, he's frustrating because there is like some moments, like the Bills game was. I was watching the Bills game and they won that game like 11 to like I don't know, it was like 11 to I don't know, some weird score that they won that game, and he has like some of the best throws you'll see on film, just rocketed into like it's right to Ridley's chest, and it's just like throwing a sidearm, or he's like backing up, and he's like kind of backing up a little bit. He throws a sidearm, and it's like right into Calvin Ridley, or then he's doing this throw where he's just like just dying right to Evan Ingram right in the back of the end zone, and then all these things, and then like it will happen, and then he'll get inside the 20, and then he'll just make the stupidest mistake I've ever seen in my life, and that's really him, or he'll fumble. He has a huge fumbling problem.
Yeah,
but he has a big arm. I believe he's still an accurate quarterback. He uses his legs a lot, which I think he used it a little bit too much last year. I think he was kind of trying to be too much of a playmaker last year, and it hurt him a lot. But I did think that he still has a chance to become what everybody thinks he is. All right, because you saw what he could become at the end of what it was 2022, I believe. That year,
yeah.
Those last 8 weeks, that's what Trevor Lawrence's potential is that guy. When he is just, you know, because he to be honest, like his pre-snap, he's pretty good. Post-snap, he's pretty good. Like he has those things that we talk about. Yeah. Like, what makes you a top 15 quarterback? He's pretty post-snap. It's pretty good. It's just he's in bonehead territory. And you know, that's a big thing for me with these. I call him a bone. He's like he's leaning. He's got a year left. He got one more year, and he might enter the boneheads, right? Yeah. Which you can be a top 15 guy and be a bonehead, but
he's staring at the land of Daniel Jones.
Well, that's okay. Let's back up a little bit. Like that's too much.
Listen, no, I said it to you when we talked about his contract last week. He's got to get 30 touchdowns this year. He has to.
Yeah. Because that's the problem, is because he's bad in the red zone, man. I don't know what it is. He gets to the red zone, and he just either fumbles or throws a pick. It's the weirdest thing.
That's the toughest place to play as a quarterback in the red zone. It is the most difficult place to throw a football, hands down.
But that's why he doesn't have a lot of touchdowns, Chris, is because of that. So, and to me, I think it goes back to – I think he's young, and I think they're throwing the ball too much with him. I think they need to hand the ball off to Travis Etienne a lot. Because Etienne was balling last year, and I don't think he got the ball enough.
I agree with you. Yeah,
he was having a great year, and sometimes with your quarterback, it's not, especially when he got hurt, right? And they're still trying to throw the ball 50 times with him. It's like the Niners game; like he didn't do that well. And the team around him, you know, there's a lot of drops. I'm gonna give him that. There's a lot of drops for Trevor Lawrence and things like that. But I just believe that the turnovers our problem. People like to ignore that. Like, oh, Josh Allen had that many turnovers. Well, Josh Allen also throws like 35 touchdowns a year. Let's see. He evens it out. If you got 21 touchdowns and 20 turnovers, bro, that's not something that you want to be.
That's not ideal.
That doesn't work.
No.
21 touchdowns, 20 turnovers. That's what he had. He was 21 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. You know, and people like to bring up his like analytical stats, and I get it because he has some great throws. That PFF, I'm sure he's a big time throw. You know, he's one of the league leaders in big time throws, right? And big time throws, which I think is a hilarious stat. It's just kind of funny. What is that even really?
I don't get me started there with PFF, man. I can't live in that bubble right now. take me to 13.
He's like, I don't even want to talk about this anymore.
No, I don't. I can't go down that path. It's too early.
All right, 13 is Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins actually played really well, though. I don't want to spend too much time on Kirk Cousins. He's been in the league like 10, 15 years. He's like the same guy. I don't know what
else. Yeah, he has not changed. He's the same. He is easily the same guy. Now he's the same guy coming off an Achilles injury.
Yeah. And you know, because Kirk does a lot of great things, man. He's pretty good pre and post snap, man. He's pretty good there. Post snap, he's a little bit worse than I would say pre snap. He's more of a pre snap survivor, but he's gotten better pre snap. He anticipates well, right?
Man, he's gonna check it down. He's gonna survive for the next play until it's fourth down, and then I can't survive to the next play with the check down.
But I still am going to check it down.
I'm still going to check it down. I'm not going to throw that interception on fourth down. I'm not going to do it, Marcus. I'm just going to check it down, and then we'll turn it over. Turnover.
I mean, to be fair on that play, man, Dexter Lawrence is coming. So,
it doesn't matter. That's coming. You couldn't have said it any better. He is who we thought he was.
I mean, he's Kirk Cousins. I don't know how to explain it. Like, he's accurate. He's an accurate guy. He's very accurate. He is, you know, he does a lot of things, but, you know, he's just not going to, you know, and he'll take a hit. Standing up, he'll stand in there, he'll take a hit, man. He takes hits.
He took a lot of hits.
I know he did. Like, he took a lot of hits, man. Yeah. He takes a lot of hits, man. Yes, he takes a lot of hits. And I think he does a good job getting the, you know, he's built some rapport with Justin Jefferson when he was there, and now he's got to build some rapport with some new guys. But I think that the whole thing about Kirk Cousins is the Falcons drafted Michael Penix.
Well, they get to do to him what he did to RG3.
I know, but you know, if they really, really believed in Kirk Cousins, like, you at least give him like a year with like not worrying about if I miss this throw.
They're worried about that Achilles.
Oh, yeah, they probably are, yeah. 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 They did back up. But yeah, man. I just don't know how to deep dive into Kirk. I mean, he's got better late in the game, so. I mean, one thing that he has got better at, Chris. I mean, yes, he led a league in comebacks, game winning drives in 2022. He did. He led the league. He has got better late and later in games.
Well, we'll see what it looks like in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, he has the weapons in Atlanta.
I'm tired of Kyle Pitts being just straight potential, and then I draft him in like the eighth round or something, and then I don't have a tight end all year long because he doesn't catch a single pass. I'm tired of that.
I mean, be fair, because Kyle Pitts had a quarterback for 1 year. He put up 900 yards.
I'm hopeful that Kirk Cousins can give Kyle Pitts what he deserves, because he will forever be one of my favorite guys to call out very early in the season when we're recording and we're talking about a college guy that fast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Kirk is Kirk. You know,
Kirk is Kirk. Guy. And that's why we're going to go on to 12.
All right, Chris, now prepare to be mad. Are you ready?
Oh, you're going to Jordan love me right here? Marcus, if we weren't over an hour into this right now, I know exactly why you're doing it. I know exactly why you're doing it, because he didn't have that great of a beginning in the season. He only had down the stretch. 18 touchdowns and one interception is impressive, but do it over the course of a whole season. It doesn't matter that he was second.
You would say that about everybody else, though. You would say that about everybody else.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes, you would. You would. You would say that.
What quarterback would do that? What quarterback has done that? The only quarterback that I gave crap to the entire time that was really, really good was Patrick Mahomes, because for 3 years he led the league in balls that hit defenders right in the chest and they dropped them.
Yeah, but okay. All right. So
Jordan Love didn't hit defenders in the chest.
Are you sure about that?
And they dropped the ball. Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Are you?
I'm sure of it.
I don't know. I think. Okay. All right. So we'll talk about Jordan Love. I think Jordan Love, he has some incredible film at times. I think he ended the year with incredible film. Like the Cowboys game is nuts. I think the 49ers game is a little more up and down than you would say, with film wise. But there's still some crazy film in there. I just think the beginning of the year, the film is just not that. It's just, you know, because when I remember when I previewed him before the Raiders game, you know, I wasn't scared. Let's say that. If I played him now, I'd be a little terrified. So that's the thing, like, you know, of him. But there is things that you liked back then. Like, you know, he's just so cool in the pocket. Like, he has awesome pocket presence. He's just so cool back there, right?
He has his moments. And here's the only reason why I can agree with you as to why he should be 12 is Jordan Love has his moments. That interception at the end of the Niners game in the Super Bowl was a bonehead mistake.
You know, a big one too that you guys probably wouldn't even have to worry about beating the Bears was playoffs. The one for the Steelers, you remember that one?
He did it in the red zone at the end of the game multiple times. Game winning drives, gets them all the way downfield. We're inside the 30-yard line, and then bonehead, game over. So he did that. He did it on a few different occasions last year. But here's the thing with him: when he does something stupid, he learns from it.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's why I do not agree with you. And he should definitely be a top 10 quarterback. And I think that he's going to continue to have the trajectory that we saw at the end of last season. That 18-1 was huge for two reasons. One, the ability to not turn the ball over is the most important thing as a quarterback.
Yeah.
And two, and I think you're going to get to this point, the fact that they do not have a number one receiver where he has to force the ball to a guy is the most life-saving thing in the entire world. There's not a diva there that he's got to force the ball to.
Yeah.
And that's huge. That's why he went 18 touchdowns, one interception.
Yeah, and like I said, there's a lot of I'm not gonna lie, there's a lot of things to like about Jordan Love, and you know Jordan Love does a lot of good things. But I think there's a couple things that I would say besides what you're saying. I think at times he can be too aggressive. That's why it's pretty damn good that he only threw one interception. That's why I was like, are you sure guys didn't drop passes? Because I don't know that, Chris. he's very aggressive, but he sees the field so well. That's mm-hmm. why he's aggressive too. Because like there's some throws, like I remember this throw against Steelers. I'm like, you're not going to throw that. You're not going to do that. And then he did it. And I was like, you're crazy.
He did it against Detroit. He did it against Dallas in the playoffs. You sent it to me. He did it on family night just the other day for practice.
They dropped it. That's my other problem, which I want to get to, is like, I think they should have gave him somebody, though. I'm sorry.
There are a lot of drops. There were a lot of mistakes, especially in the first half of the season. Those wide receivers were not coming back to the football. In those 50-50 balls, the wide receiver was not making the right play on the football, and it turned into turnovers early. You did see as the year progressed that the receivers kind of figured it out, started putting the foot in the ground when they would go up for a ball instead of fading away from the football. So you saw the young receivers kind of making advancements in their career too to understand how to play that position. Everything kind of became a perfect storm as everything was happening towards the end of the year. So that's what makes me even more excited. And that's why I think he's a top 10 guy, not number 12.
Yeah, it's, you know – The 12 through 9 thing, I kind of felt the same way as 20 before 12. Like, they're a little, you know, it was hard for me. And because I had him in the top 10 originally, but then I took him out.
Yeah, so. you just wanted to boil my blood before the season started. I get it. I understand what's going on here. I get it. I understand. You did this to me last year too, where you had him in the mid 20s. I'm following our rules.
Top 12 is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, man. It's still a good ranking.
You're just trying to get me all riled up so the season can start. All right, hit me with 11 so we can wrap this up.
All right, 11, Jared Goff. So I went Jared Goff at 11.
He's consistent.
Yes, it's the same thing. Like, you know, I could go like into Goff. We know what Goff is. Goff is a play action throw, one of the best digs in football. Get rid of the ball quick. Nowhere, a general. He's a field general. That's basically
absolutely.
Goff is a field general, a leader. He's showed a lot more accuracy last year.
Mm-hmm.
He has a great rapport with Amon St. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And you know they eat together. And it's a perfect guy for Goff because Goff can get the ball out quick to him. He can get some yak, and they have the perfect. I mean, they have the offensive line around him that, you know, allows him to be comfortable. They have the best offensive line in the league. And, yeah, he is just consistent. So, I mean, you're going to see the same consistency this year, I believe, because he's got the same offensive line.
Yeah.
He's got the same players around him.
Yeah.
They were smart, and they added Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, and, you know, David Montgomery, and then, you know, Williamson. Am I saying his name right?
Yep, he's gonna come. He's gonna finally have a full season. Hopefully,
finally have a full season. So, I mean, the thing is with Goff, which has been his whole career, is that if you get pressure on him, it's basically he turns into a pumpkin. And it happened a lot of games, like the Raiders game. You know, Max Crosby was all over him, and he didn't play that well against the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders didn't have Jimmy Garoppolo missing a wide open Davante Adams twice.
I might go on Netflix and watch that episode over again.
When he tells him, he tells him, fuck Josh's dagger. I'm running a dagger and then a go, and you're gonna throw me the ball, and I'll put my hand up. And he does it. He's like, and you see the Lions corner who's expecting to dig. He like ran all the way inside. Here's Devonta H. You could have underthrew him, bro. Like just
make sure it's over to him. Yeah.
So that would be a different game. So, but like, it, like every game that he got pressure on him, they did not play well. So like the Niners game when they were up 24-7, the Niners started getting pressure. He didn't play the same.
Thanksgiving against the Packers.
Yep. Got pressure on him. Didn't play well. The Ravens got pressure on him. Didn't play well. Even the Bucs game when they went 20-3 with your boy Baker Mayfield. They got pressure on him. He didn't play well. So they didn't play well. So the name of the game is getting pressure on Jared Goff. It's just hard to do when he has the best offensive line in football. When he has like Taylor Decker and Penei Sewell. And he has who's the center? Frank Ragnow.
Yeah, that's they're solid.
It's the name of the game is get pressure on him, but easier said than done. Getting pressure on him, right?
Yeah,
right. Especially with the run game, because then he gets play action. You got to respect the run.
And with those guys coming out of the backfield too, you can't fully commit to a blitz because all he's got to do is dump it off to Jahmyr Gibbs and it's over.
Exactly. He has a great GM that was like, okay, I got a quarterback that can get the job done, which I don't understand why more GMs don't do this. You know, because like the PFF guys, like if you don't have a top five guy, you just keep drafting guys to replace him, which I think is the stupidest thing ever. I think
could not agree with you more.
So stupid.
The only way that the only reason that draft and develop works when it's not a guy, so I'm talking about your Jalen Hurts. I'm talking about your Tuas. Yeah. The reason why you can redo that over and over again is because of a rookie contract compared to the second-year contract for a quarterback. You can put enough guys around him. You can pay a Tyreek Hill. You can pay a Jalen Waddle for a second contract. You can put those guys around him, and then they make just enough good plays that you're competitive. But if you get a guy like Goff, well, then you're going to NFC Championship games, and then you're looking to get back there the next season.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? But they built around him, right? They built a team that to make him successful, which I think a lot of guys, if you have a guy that can get it done and you can win with him, you build a team and you build a team around his weaknesses.
Yes.
He gets it done. And that's really all you got to do with a quarterback that has weaknesses is you take him away.
So all those weaknesses.
He can't handle pressure well, so we give him the best offensive line in football. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's... You better draft them now and then spend the next 5 years finding his replacement.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, Chris. Well, that's 20-11. I only upset you once this week, but
you did a good job by grouping those three guys together. I'm very happy about that. You had me a little butt hurt at the beginning because of Baker still being outside your 20 with some of the guys that you had at the top of that 20-17. And then you really tried to get me with Jordan there at 12. You really tried. But,
Top 10, man. Top 10's going to be fun, man. I can't wait. My top 10's going to be fun. All right. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Hit us on the socials, ALPA_QB1. Also on same on Instagram, a little pocket awareness on Facebook. If you're a Facebook person, follow us on Twitter at TheMarkJohnNFL. At King Manelos for Chris. And I hope you guys enjoy this quarterback countdown. Of course, we'll be back next week with the final 10. This could be exciting, guys. All right, we're out of here. Peace.